Welcome to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. This podcast is dedicated to helping midlife women step into the inherent power and wisdom of a time of life when they often feel overlooked and underrepresented and even begin to doubt themselves. Each week, we will cover information and inspirational topics along with real stories from real women who are defying cultural stereotypes and perceptions of midlife. Women who are reinventing themselves, starting businesses, chasing their dreams, and tackling challenges they never thought possible. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. Today, we are talking about women aging in media, modeling, all kinds of juicy topics that I am super, super passionate about. And my guest is Robin Babe, who is a former stylist, actress, producer, who became a commercial model at the age in her 60s, and who is now the owner of the Modern Ager casting company that specializes in women over 40 and women of color in casting. So welcome, Robin. I am so happy to have you here with me.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jennifer. It's a pleasure.
Now, you have had a very interesting life on both sides of the camera. So from being a stylist or a producer to being an actress and a model, what got you so interested in starting this Modern Ager casting business that you do right now?
Well, I have to say that it was a natural progression. It wasn't like I woke up one morning and said, this is what I want to do. It was, you know, one thing led to another, that led me here. And my husband and I have a photo studio here in Manhattan. And we used to, I was a print producer at the age of 50. That was another reinvention that I did. And, you know, when I was always a late bloomer. So changing jobs at 50 seemed natural to me. It wasn't like, oh my God, no one's going to hire me. I just didn't have that in my head. And I was able to work for, I had been a documentary producer, and I had worked in fashion, and I had so much background to be a print producer that I think that the company, luckily for me, recognized all those talents that you need. You need to wear many hats. And so I became a print producer for one of the largest production houses in Manhattan, working for all these advertising photographers on very big productions with huge budgets. You know, there's a lot on the line, and it was very stressful. And then my husband, who was a producer, doing his own producing for his jobs, we realized if I quit my job and we joined forces, we could do our own production company. I would do all the production and he would shoot, which is exactly what we did. And during the crash of 08 is when everything changed. The advertising agencies no longer wanted to hire the photographers with who they had been working, because as I said, they were big budgets and everything, all the budgets were slashed. And so they hired all the connections we had, because they were all older and had large salaries. And then they started working with just very young in-house producers.
Right.
So at that point, we started working with Getty Images, which we had worked with, even though when we were producing large jobs, large advertising jobs, we were also working with Getty in a different way. And then one of the producers there found out that we had a studio. And so when we started working with her and she knew that I did casting, we joined forces to start showcasing older women in the way that showed their power, that showed their inspiration, that showed how age makes you comfortable in your own skin. The experience matters. And it's not just about the outside beauty, but it's really, you can see the inside as well.
Oh, I love that so much. As you're talking, I'm literally getting goosebumps all over my body, because I talk a lot on this podcast about how, you know, when we enter this new chapter of life and everything physically is changing, we sometimes get so caught up in what we're missing or what we think we're losing physically that we miss all that we are and all that we have become on the inside. And the fact that you have started a business which is about showcasing, you know, that wisdom, that experience, that, you know, inner beauty that comes from knowledge and having lived, right? Like, that is so incredibly beautiful. Oh, gosh.
And powerful.
And and that's the other word I was going to get to, because that's the one thing that you said that really gave me the goosebumps, because the notion that, you know, as soon as you reach 50, all of a sudden you are less attractive, less powerful, less relevant, when in fact, we all know, and all of you, us here and the women listening, all know that we are actually more powerful than we've ever been in this chapter of life.
Right. Because, you know, we are reinventing mm-hmm. a time in life. You know, we baby boomers mm-hmm. are living longer. And as a result of living longer and taking care of ourselves and healthy and exercising, you know, I run, I work out with weights, I eat well. And, you know, we're a different generation and nobody has seen this generation before. And
right.
as we go on, we are making the rules. We are changing the rules. And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, the women I meet, there are a lot of women who come to me because I also have a coaching business. Mm-hmm. I can give you an example
yeah.
of a woman that I'm working with in California. Her name is Ruth Yunker.
Oh, she was on the podcast. Yeah.
Oh, was she?
Yes, yes.
Oh, how funny.
I love her.
Oh, I didn't know that. So Ruth came to me a couple of years ago. I think Ruth is now 74. She came to me when she was 72. And she said, I'm an author, but I want to be a model. So I've been coaching her, and she just got her first agent because, you know, you have to be committed. It takes time, but it's there for you if it's something you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really a lot of fun. Now, things are different than my day. When I became a commercial print model at 60, you know, I went to the casting studios for the auditions. Today, it's all self-taping.
Right.
So you work at home. There are positives and negatives. The positive part is that you can self-tape and you can view all your, you know, you can just retake and retake as much as you want until you
yeah.
find that one tape that you feel comfortable with. When you go to somebody's casting studio,
yeah.
you have no control.
Yeah, well, that's it. You got one shot, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is, there, in a sense, if you learn how to do it, I think it's better.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. And one of the things, and we talked a little bit about this before we hit record, is that your agency has a mission in terms of modernizing the idea of beauty and expanding the boundaries of who we see in media, which, again, I read that, I was just like, oh, because, you know, and the people listening to this podcast may or may not have heard this before, but when I had turned 50 and I was faced with, you know, the daunting task of having to reinvent my life, figure out who I was, first of all, and then reinvent my life.
Right.
When I started looking around me, you know, in the mainstream media, like, where are all these incredible 50, 60, 70 year old women? Like, they were nowhere to be seen, right? Like, you might see the odd one pop up. Like, I think Mae Musk would popped up and I'm, you know, and I,
right.
and I remember thinking, like, I mean, she's gorgeous. Genetically, she's, you know, incredibly, incredibly beautiful. But I was like, where are all the women doing incredible things in the world? And I didn't see them. And, you know, the mainstream media represents the over 50, especially for women, as being this very passive kind of sitting back, waiting, you know, like meal replacement shakes, waiting for grandkids to visit, you know, bladder leakage right. protection. Right. And I was like, right. okay, all very necessary, in this world, but like, where are the women doing things? Like, you know, like exerting their yes. power, you know, not stepping into invisibility. And I didn't see it anywhere, which is one of the main drivers for this podcast, is because I needed to know what was possible for me. And if I needed to know it, yes. then other women needed to see what was possible for them. And so stories like right. yours, where you've been able to reinvent your career many times over, are incredibly inspiring to all of us, because there is no real boundary of age.
No. And, you know, I'm going to tell you a funny Mae Musk story. When I first got that job when I was 50 at the production house, we did a lot of, that's when I found my love of casting. Mm. And Mae Musk, this was 1999. Mae Musk was a plus size model.
Wow.
Not gorgeous and glamorous. It was mind-blowing to me to see, and it's almost the opposite. She transformed into a real glamorous babe later on. But early in her career, she was a plus-sized model. And I never forgot her, though, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I remember her coming into castings. But she still had, you know, that's the thing also about women and reinventing. And it's true for myself, too. You know, I never had a linear career. And it wasn't just, it was connecting the dots. You know, one thing led to another, led to another, led to another. And, you know, I kept myself open. I always embraced change. And, you know, when I finally got to the casting in 1999, when it was like, wow, you know, what an exciting field to be in. I just always had a passion for it. I found that there was some sort of, and maybe it was because also I had been an actress. Mm. And, you know, being an actor and playing different roles and going on auditions, there was something about the, you know, and being on the other side of the casting, there was just something that spoke to me. Mm. And what happened was, when you're curious and you get to a point where you want to reinvent, you don't even realize what's inside of you, what talents you have that are really deep and fruitful, and somehow you have to allow it to emerge. I know that sounds very, you know, unclear, but there really is a power in exploration, you know, in what you have to offer that you might not even realize you're right for. And as long as you keep pushing those boundaries, as long as you keep moving ahead and trying, try different things. Ugh. And you know what? I was told when, you know, because I was a SAG actor, I was told you can reach out to people. Like, for instance, I offer a free 15-minute consultation for women who want to talk about what their questions are about modeling. If it's something that maybe they always wanted to do, because, you know, there are a lot of women who put this on the back burner yeah. because they had families. And I work with a lot of women who now say, what if? Now's right. my time.
I love those two words, what if? And I think yes. everything that you just said about being curious, staying open, just trying things are so, so important. Because in my community, I talk to a lot of women who know they want something more for their life. They don't want to keep living the way that they are, but they get really stuck in the, well, what's possible for me? Where do I go? And the only way, and I know this from my own experience, the only way to get clarity is to try something. So if you have a little inkling, you're like, I'm kind of interested in that. Take a step towards it, right? Just try it and see what happens. See if it leads you to the next step, or that first step might repel you and you go, no, wrong path, close that door, move on to the next. But I think so many of us become afraid to begin again, right? To have a beginner's mindset, to try something that we're not good at, because we're used to being, you know, by the time we reach our 50s and 60s, we're used to being experts on all kinds of things, right? And stepping into the vulnerability of becoming a learner, becoming a beginner, that people might see you fail is very, very scary, but it really is the only way to figure out what's next. And the payoff is on the other side of your comfort zone. We all know that.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And also, what I have found is even that thing that you try that you decide is not for you, you don't know who you're going to meet.
Exactly.
And I've had that experience where, you know, like I remember there's a, I used to go to these salons, these Sunday salons here in New York, and the women that were there, you know, they were all over 50 and they all did different things. And the connections you make, you just don't know where that's going to lead you. You know, you may make a friend, you may go, that person may invite you to a party and you'll meet someone there. So it's all about just connection.
Yeah. Connection, staying open. And, you know, a lot of us get stuck in the, well, how am I going to do this? How? Right. And it's just like you said, when you stay open, you're curious and you just keep trying, just keep stepping forward. The how of everything reveals itself, whether it's a connection with a person or you happen to stumble onto something because, you know, you were on your way to a casting call and you discovered a restaurant and then you went in that restaurant, like any number of things that can happen.
That's right.
Right. And if we,
and it does,
if we could just keep ourselves out of the how, I mean, I've had so many instances of that in my own life as well. Right. And one of the things that I did when I was at the beginning of my reinvention journey, so from my 30-year corporate career to where I am now, I started having conversations, booking coffees with as many different people from as many different walks of life as I possibly could. Because one thing I realized was that my circle were people who looked like me, thought like me, had the same job as me. Like we were all in the same bubble. And I was like, okay, I know this bubble. I need to get out of my bubble. And having those conversations with people about why they did what they did, how they got to where they were, how they made a living was like eye-opening. I was like, holy cow. I didn't even know half of this stuff existed. And it expanded the realm of possibility for my own life. So just, you know, allowing ourselves to get curious and to explore and to try things, I think is about the only way to figure out that the answer to the question, what's next? Because we all have a what's next.
Yes. Right. And, you know, one of the things that happened to me kind of along those lines was when I became a commercial print model at 60, I had an audition for Red Book magazine and I went online. I always researched. Anytime I had an audition, I had to, you know, I researched the casting director and I saw what came up in one of my researches was that she had been profiled on a website called Women You Should Know. And it said, if there's a woman that you think we should know, contact us. So I had, you know, it's kind of, I thought, what the heck? So I sent them a little article and I said, a little essay. And I said, I think you should know me.
And, I love it.
And I said, I'm not a writer. That was the first thing. Probably my first line was, I'm not a writer, but here's some information. And the woman wrote me back and she said, we love what you wrote. We want to publish it as is. And guess what? You are a writer. And I was so blown away. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to stop here. And I sent it to the Huffington Post, the same piece I wrote. And the editor of HuffPost 50 sent me back an email and said, we love this. Because I said, oh, edit it. I'm not a writer, blah, blah, blah. She said, not only do we love it and we don't want to change a word, but would you blog for us about your experience as a model over 60?
Oh, that's incredible.
That's what I mean. Right. That's what I mean by this happened totally by accident. And I fell in love with writing.
Ugh. Yeah.
Absolutely fell in love.
You and me both. You and me both. I mean, I, you know, when the notion to write first came to me, I was like, but I'm not a writer. Like I write corporate strategy decks. That's what I do. Right. And then I just thought, okay, we're just going to try it. And I remember the first time when I started the Old Chicks No Shit blog, which is how this whole thing got started. I remember publishing the first thing that I had written and having to sit on my hand for like 3 days to not go back and delete it because I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting my stuff out in the world for everybody to see? But one thing led to another, and like publishing that first blog, you know, opened the doors to other women coming to me and going, oh my God, me too. I thought I was alone in what I was experiencing.
Yes.
Other women were like, me too, me too. And then it literally, you know, expanded from there to the podcast, to the coaching that I do, to my mastermind groups, like all of that, which never would have been possible had I not listened to that tiny little voice that said, you need to just write this.
Yes. And ignore the voice that says you can't.
Exactly.
Because we all have that.
Yeah. We do. Well, and we
all have that.
And we label ourselves like, I'm not a this, I'm not a that, I'm not creative, I'm not, you know, all of those things, which we don't know. Like, we just don't know unless we try, because maybe we actually are. But somewhere along the way, we picked up the idea. Like, and I think I shared this on another podcast, was I got into my head that I wasn't a writer, because when I was 6 years old, I had a teacher. So my printing wasn't very good. And you know, they used to give you those line paper and you had to keep the letters in the things with the dotted line in between, right? And my printing was always above the line or below the line. It wasn't neat. And she used to say to me all the time, you're a bad writer. Okay. That was 6 year old me, because I was going outside the line, but then I carried that with me and it got kind of messed up along the way. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really a writer. And when I finally kind of faced that, I was like, well, wait a minute. Am I? No, I'm a bad printer. My writing is still not the best, but I can write.
You can write. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that I have a very similar childhood story, maybe around the same age or a little older, but it was in elementary school and I wanted to be a model. And I used to look at, you know, Glamour and 17, and all I saw was Cheryl Teagues. Mm. And I wasn't blonde with a little upturned nose. And, you know, I had dark frizzy hair and a nose I hadn't grown into yet. And I was depressed. Mm. I felt so bad about myself. I just turned all those feelings inward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons I do what I do. I really do believe it. It's almost like I'm working it out. I'm still working it out. I think I'm in therapy and I really believe in therapy, and I'm still working out a lot of old childhood feelings because there's a lot to unpack there.
Ain't that the truth? We pick up a lot of stuff, we carry it with us, and then at some point you're like, this is too heavy for me to carry. Like, I need to kind of get to the bottom of this. Yeah, it really is a lifelong journey of self-exploration, which I actually love.
Yeah.
I just think it's such a beautiful journey.
It is. But, you know, and I understand there's a lot of fear. And I understand that fear, because I too, you know, you can't stay inside. You can't stay inside and just keep it in your head. You must act. And you know, with writing, that's one of the biggest things. You know, you may have an idea and you may keep it in your head, but you got to get it on the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You got to get it on the paper.
Yeah.
And I was in a wonderful class on Zoom with a writing teacher who's in Ireland. Mm. She's actually a New Yorker and she writes for the New York Times. She's just terrific. And her name is Rosie Schapp. And three of us were from New York and the other three were from Ireland. And we used to write personal essays. And let me tell you, it was very intimidating because two of the women, you know, had MFAs, one from Columbia, one from the Iowa workshop. And then, you know, that right there, I thought, oh my God, what am I doing there?
Right.
You know, that kind of feeling. But I emailed her and I said, you know, Rosie, I said, I feel so intimidated by these women and their degrees and the fact that I don't have one. And she said, you know what? Everybody loves your writing. And if they didn't, you wouldn't be there. Mm. And you can, you know, I stayed. I'm really glad I stayed because my writing improved. And I was also, I have to say, I was the oldest.
Right.
You know, two of the women were 30. Two of the European women were older. They were in their 50s. and a third was in her 40s. So we were kind of all over the place.
Right.
But, you know, I wrote about different things because our generation is so different.
Yeah.
You know, the growing up in the 50s and the 60s, like I did, you know, in suburban Long Island.
Yeah. And I've heard you say that, or I read it somewhere, that your 60s were your most creative decade. And I find that with a lot of women that I talk to who really come into their creativity later in life. Why do you think that is? Why do we tend to kind of, and I know it's true for me, but why do you think we lean into our creativity later in life?
Oh, I think a lot of it has to do with self-confidence.
Mm.
I really do.
Right.
You know, earlier in my life, it was all about what I can't do. You know, that was what I was I'm not good enough.
Right.
I can't do that. Me, a writer? No, that's for other people. You know, and that was kind of a message as well, I have to tell you, growing up.
Yeah.
My father used to, you know, say things like, you know, the message was, that's for other people.
Mm.
Not for us. And I took that to heart. But, you know, it's also interesting, you know, my husband is, not only is he a photographer, but in the late 70s, he was a drummer in a band at CBGB's. And he missed being a musician so much that now he's 75, but about 4 years ago, he started missing playing music so much, he took up the bass. And he started playing the bass. And now he makes music videos. He records. You know, we still have our photo studio. We still shoot. But what's wonderful is that we both have our creative outlets. Another thing I got into later in life is collage.
Mm.
I absolutely adore collage. And again, when I was younger, I admired collage from afar. You know what's interesting? It never hit me to explore it.
Mm.
I never said, why don't I take a class? Those thoughts never entered my mind. So what did I do about right before the pandemic? I took a class at a place here called the Art Students League in collage. But I never thought to do that when I was younger, because I really had such low self-esteem. And, you know, I think that's really it. My self-esteem improved as I gained more confidence. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought about it that way. But there is an element of vulnerability in creation, right? Like when you create something from inside, it's like taking a part of inside your body and putting it outside your body for now everybody to see. And there's a certain amount of vulnerability in that you have to have a foundation within yourself in order to be able to put that out there and, you know, risk being judged or the people not like it or whatever. So yeah, I can totally see that. And I hadn't thought about that before. But like, what prompted you though in your 60s to step out from behind the camera to in front of the camera?
Well, that also was a circumstance. I was approached by another producer in the photography world. He knew about my casting company because I had a casting company. And he said to me, you know, the advertising agencies are sick and tired of seeing the same faces over and over. What do you think about us forming a bond, a partnership, and starting a street casting? I did a lot of street casting, searching for talent. Yeah. I used to walk around with this is pre-digital. I used to walk around with my Polaroid camera and my casting sheets and my pens and paper. And I would go to places where there were like Union Square, where there's a green market and lots of people. And so he said, you know, why don't you think about it? And I'll think about it. And then he contacted me and I thought, oh, that's an interesting idea. And he said, you know what? I decided to retire. Because he was already...
Yeah.
He was ready to retire, but he thought maybe he would switch gears. So when that happened, I thought, you know what? I'm going to become one of the models.
Mm.
And, you know, because he said there's not enough women. And I thought, you know, because I also had been an actor for 10 years in the
80s. Right, right.
I trained in New York and I went out to L.A. And my first movie was opposite Val Kilmer, and I was so nervous, I did forget my lines, actually, and they cut me out, which was really, really devastating. But look, I was not an actor, but when I started modeling, I loved it. I had the confidence and the self-awareness to know what to do because, you know, from all those years of being behind the camera. But then when I started really getting into it, and there was a lot of auditions.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I really enjoy producing. I really do. Because I had to make a decision at one point. I couldn't do both anymore. And I decided to just do casting. And then I decided to focus on women over 40.
So when you're discovering women over 40, you know, or casting women over 40, you talked about, you know, being able to showcase their power. Like, what is it that you see that allows you to communicate that? Because there's a difference between, you know, a woman with an aging face and then a woman with an aging face who is exuding power. Like, what is that difference? Like, what do you look for?
Yeah, well, you know, there are certain positions of power. Being an actor, you know, my husband and I will direct together. Just to give you an example, especially for somebody actually who has never done it. I was featured in a newsletter called Tonight, and it was all about my casting company. And I got an email 2 weeks ago from a woman who, a gray-haired woman in her 50s who lives in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And she said, I always wanted to model. She said, but I never knew how or where to start. So I said to her, you know, you have a great look. I sent her images to our art director at Getty Images, because that's what I'm casting right now. You know, I'm always casting something. And this was for Getty. And the producer, our producer at Getty was like, I love her. She's great. You know, she just had that je ne sais quoi that said, I'm confident. I know who I am. You can see it. So really, and we're going to shoot with her next Wednesday. She's coming into New York and we have her, and she is just over the moon. She's never done it before. But you know what it is? It's being able to, because we all have it. We all have that confidence. It's about making the person, working with that person and directing them to bring it out. And that's really what it is. It's not only for certain people, because let me tell you, especially people who've never been in front of the camera, or the ones who reach out to me who want to be coached, who gave it up to raise families, who don't really remember. It's about understanding that it's there and it's helping them. It's kind of hard to explain, but when they're on their mark, and the lights are on and the camera is pointed, you know, there is definitely in the beginning, it's letting them go, letting them feel comfortable, letting them get to that point when they start to move.
Right.
You need to have coach them in how to move. Everybody's going to move differently, no matter, even if the direction, my husband's a great director and he knows how to make talent feel comfortable. That's really the key. Because as I said, everyone is going to be different and you can give them the same direction, but it's about making somebody feel comfortable, strong, and letting that inside person come through.
Yeah, I love that so much. You know, I call myself the queen of awkward photos. Until I did a photo shoot a couple of years ago with a photographer that I absolutely loved, like she was incredible. And the photos that came out of that where I was like, wow, like look at this, right? And it actually, I used to dread photo shoots. Like I used to dread them like with a passion. And after I did that one where I was like, I felt like I could really be myself. It, like the difference was incredible. And so I think, as you said, it's just, I thinking it's finding the right match and finding, you know, a photographer that you feel comfortable with or somebody who knows how to direct you to feel more comfortable with yourself.
Yes.
Because it makes such a huge difference.
It does. Last summer in August, I was in Best Buy, which is, do you have a Best? I don't know if you have a
Best Buy. Yeah, we have Best Buy in Canada. Yeah.
But anyway, I was in Best Buy and I saw a woman from the back with long salt and pepper dreads. And I thought, I got to see her face because her hair was so amazing. And I wanted to see if she was somebody who had that sparkle.
Mm.
And she turned around and I was just blown away. And I thought, wow, what a smile. What, you know, this was somebody who I could just see in front of the camera. So I approached her and I told her, let's, you know, here's my information. I never ask somebody for their information because I don't want to, you know, I want them to know I'm legit. So I said, reach out to me. I told her what I was doing, that I'm a casting person. She was in her 60s. She was an art director for a magazine here in New York. And we shot her. She was so excited when she saw her pictures. And let me tell you, it was her own makeup. It was her own hair. It was her own wardrobe. This was not, you know, hair. We don't hire hair and makeup. We want people to be real. And that's why I say being real is your best asset.
I love that.
You know, this is, and she, her pictures, I mean, if anybody wants to go to my Instagram at Modern Age or Casting, all the women that are over 40 on my Instagram account are all women that we shot. And Natalie really blew, her mind was blown. And now I'm helping her model.
That's so cool.
She wants to be, she said, my dream is always to be in a commercial.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. And I love what you just said about, you know, where your greatest asset is just like to be yourself or to be real.
Yes.
Like, and I think that is something that as we get older, you know, all through life, we wear various different masks to do what, to take care of what we need to take care of. But as we get older and we start dropping those masks and becoming more authentically who we are, it shows on the outside.
Yes.
Right. And the fact,
and that's what,
Yes. And the fact that you are capturing that now and to push that into the mainstream, I just think is so, first of all, incredibly beautiful, but so incredibly important because we need that diversity of faces.
We do. And body types.
Yeah.
And people of disability and, you know, trans, you know,
we
shoot everyone because we want all the colors. Yeah. We want every, you know, New York is such a city of diversity. I mean, in a sense, we're very lucky that we're here in New York because, and anybody who is in a major city, you know, has incredible talent just walking down the street.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. So what famous older models have you worked with?
Well,
I mean, if you can name drop, that is, if you can't, I totally understand.
Well, besides Mae Musk, what I would like to say is that I really prefer the unknowns.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
That's really my thing, is to highlight, you know, the unsung heroes that we see walking around. I mean, you know, I could say Annie Golden, who was on Orange is the New Black. We shot with her. Now, Annie Golden was one of the stars of the movie Hair, which Annie has amazing pipes. Boy, is she a great singer. And when Annie was a musician, somebody brought, she started in a punk band in the 70s at CBGB's. And Milos Forman, who directed the movie Hair, you know, that had a great cast. Somebody brought him down because they were looking for one of the leads, and the lead was a character named Jeannie. And I interviewed Annie. I interview all my models, and that's how she started acting. And, you know, she was, everybody knows her from Orange is the New Black. Another model that I recently worked with is always on, I don't know if you have the Today Show on Channel 4. She's always modeling on the Today Show. Her name is Phyllis. And Phyllis used to be a police officer.
I love it.
I'm telling you, I get off on the real women. And, you know, some, yeah, some are known, some are not. But I love seeing the transformations. Oh. That's my passion. I get so excited. You know, during the pandemic, we had to shoot outside. We shot in a park. We took three women who were in their 60s, who all worked together. And just to see the interaction and how loose they were. Mm. And, you know, female friendships are gold. You know,
yeah.
Some women have a hard time meeting and making friends older at an older age. But I have to say, you know, even though there are people who may be known, I just like the unsung heroes.
I love that. I love that so much. So if there is a woman listening who, you know, is thinking about getting into modeling, it's, you know, something she's been dreaming about, but didn't know how to get started, what would you say to her?
I would say to her, she can either go to my Instagram at modernagercasting and message me, or she can go to my website, which is modernagercasting.com, and she can send me an email where it says become a model, and we will have a free 15-minute consultation.
Perfect. We will make sure that all of that gets put in the show notes. So yeah. So if there's anybody listening and, you know, this has been something that you have thought about, even if it's a tiny little thought, but it just won't leave you alone, I encourage you to at least take the first step, pick up the phone and have a conversation with Robin, because you just don't know where it might lead. Right?
That's right.
Right. So what are you most excited for in your life, in your next chapter or projects that you have coming up? What are you excited about expanding into?
Two things. Writing my memoir is one. And the other thing is I had a very interesting conversation with a friend yesterday who told me his wife is in her 60s. She, 3 years ago, she took up painting for the first time, which is something that's always been in the back of my mind.
Mm.
And she's selling her paintings now for $1,500 a pop. And she got a gallery to represent her. 3 years ago, she had never painted.
How beautiful is that?
You know, that's what I'm talking about. We are all creative.
Mm.
And we have to stop that negative voice.
Yeah.
Take a class. Take a writing class. Take a drawing class. Take a painting class. Whatever it is. What if you love painting or painters, artists? You think, I'm not an artist. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yeah, that is so true. See, this is the thing. There's so much hidden inside of us, like so many like talents and, you know, gifts that we just haven't explored. And I feel like this is the chapter where we get to explore all of it. You know, like I recently just started taking hip hop dance classes. And honestly, I was like, I don't even know why I'm doing this, and I'm really bad at it. But you know what? It's so much fun. I'm like, I don't even care that I'm bad at it. Like, it just feels good to explore something that I've never done before, but I've always wanted to. Like, I love dance shows. I watched all the dance shows. So I was just like, okay, we're just going to try this and see what happens. So I'm going to explore some different ones, but just stepping into doing something different out of the ordinary. You just don't know what it's going to wake up inside of you. That's just going to just keep pulling you forward.
And it's so good for the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, some people take, my sister and her husband take Spanish lessons for years now.
Yeah.
Learning a new language is a great way to work your brain. You know, that's what we want. We want to work our brains.
Yeah.
And, you know, those new things, and, you know, running is really good for the brain too. I love running. Absolutely. I took it up at 50.
Good for you. That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You are inspiring. Your story is inspiring. Your business is inspiring. I love all these things that you are doing in the world. So thank you. Thank you for sharing all of that with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jennifer. It's really been a pleasure.
So to those of you listening, if you like what you heard today, definitely go check out Robin and her Instagram page. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful women on that page. We'll put all the links to everything in the show notes. But if you like what you heard today, the greatest gift that you could give us would be to rate or review the show, or even better, pass it on to a friend or a relative or somebody that you think might get something from it. So until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend, subscribe, rate and review our podcast on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen in.